Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Masachat Sota, Daf Yod Zayin Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah at the beginning of the Amud, which continues the description of the process of the Sota ceremony. Balo Lichtovet HaMegillah. This Mishnah is devoted to identifying how much of the text must be written, which is then going to be erased in the water. Me'ezem Makomu Kotev. Now, I prepared on the page a chart, so please look at the handout, which has the relevant text from the Parsha of Sota. The entire text that's there is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The text that's bolded is in the opinion of Tanakama, which is Rabbi Meir. And the part that is bolded and italicized is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who has the smallest amount, as we'll see. Meizem HaKom HaKotev, Mi'v'im Lo Shachav Ish, the beginning of the oath itself, V'ad Kizit Tachad Ishech, he skips the part where it describes that the Kohen does. It's only the words that the Kohen administers that are written. Etc. In other words, the imprecation. You do not write what the woman is supposed to say, which is Amen Amen. You just write the text of what the Kohen says. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Ayam Afsik, because you don't interrupt, you write straight through. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Atzmoi No Kotev, you don't write any of it, Ela Yiten Adonai Atach La Avali Shvua, only the imprecation, meaning the second oath, that's all that's written. And he agrees, you don't write Amen Amen. So all agree that you don't write that. Now, except for, all agree that you don't write that. Now, V'mai Kami Palgi, what's the machloket between these three approaches about? V'mai Kami Palgi, about the following pasuk. It says, V'chata v'ta'alot ha'ele ha'kohen ba'sefer. The Kohen will write these alot. Now, Remeir Sarar, alot, if it just said curses, alot mamash. That includes just the imprecations. Ha'alot, if it says ha'alot, rabot klalot about machmat brachot. That includes also the curses at the beginning, meaning the oath that you didn't violate your marriage. Now, Eila, why does it say Eila? Lima'ute klalot shemishta Torah. In other words, only these curses, not the curses found in Dvarim, both in Perek Chav Zayin and Perek Chav Chet. Ha'eila eliminates something else. Lima'ute tzava'ot v'kabalot amen. It also excludes, within the parish of Sota, the directives and the Sota saying amen. So it's only the text of what the Kohen says. But ha'alot includes even the oath, which does not have the imprecation to it. For Rabbi Yossi reads it differently. Kulu kedekamart, he accepts everything that you said, but the et, the word et, is the rabot savod v'kabalot, expands and says you even include the directives, the Kohen shall administer the oath, the woman shall say amen, etc. Rabbi Meir says, etim lo darish, he doesn't darshan the word et, so he doesn't see it as significant. So that's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says, kulum b'miyuti darishlo, he says every one of the words is exclusive, meaning alot is alot mamash, that's the imprecations. Ha'alot is lim'ute klalot about machmat brachot. Brachot. In other words, ha'alot means only the imprecations and not the earlier oath, the first part. Eile, these, lim'ute klalot shemishta Torah, excludes other oaths and other parts of the Torah. Oaths meaning curses. Ha'eile lim'ute tzavur kabalot. Ha'eile, like Rameir learned, excludes also a description of what the Kohen does. All right, Rameir, Maishna Hai Hei the Marvi Bay, Maishna Hai Hei the Mat Mdemait Bay. Notice that Rameir used the letter Hei in two opposite ways. Ha'alot was inclusive. Ha'ela was exclusive. The answer is very simple. Hei the Gabe de Ribuya. If a Hei is before a word that's itself expansive, Ribuyahu, it's a further expansion. Hei the Gabe Miuta. If you have the Hei before a word that's exclusive, Miuta, it's further exclusive. All right. And Rameir, as you know from the Mishnah in Kiddushin, does not accept the principle that you can infer the positive from the negative, which of course is problematic because nowhere in Rameir's piece does the woman ever accept the principle that she will, she's the consequences of what's going to happen. So, Amar Bitan Chum Hin Kiktiv. Even though the proper reading of the text says, if you are pure, then hinaki, there's also sugin kiddushin, hinaki, you will be cleansed. Read it this way, rather, tumat tachat sheikh chinki. So if you parse it differently, it can be read that if she really was tameh, then she will die, or choke, as it were. All right, Darsh Rabbi Kiva. Now we have a few agadic tangents on this. Ish v'isha, if you have a man or woman, zachu, shechina b'nam, if they are proper in merit, the shechina rests among them. Rashi points out that you take the ish and the isha, the difference between them is yod and hey. Put the yod and hey together, you have proper ish v'isha, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo zachu, esh o chaltan, but if they aren't zocha, then it will take the yod out, the hey out, and you got left with esh. Fire. Amarava u'di'isha difa midi'ish. The woman's role is greater. Why? Hai mitzarif v'hala mitzarif. Because in a woman's name, the aleph and the shin are together, and then the hay, so the ish is together. Whereas the woman, it's the man, it's separated. Aleph, yod, shin. Parenthetically, just for etymology buffs, ish and isha are from totally different roots. And the wordplay that Adam is credited with in Bereshit, bet, lezoti kare isha kimi ish lukach hazot is really, a play on words, but it's not a proper etymology. Right? Amarava. Mimneima amra Torah havea far lesota. So further drashot, why did the Torah say bring dirt to put into the water of the sota? Because zachta yotzei mena ben k'Avram Avinu. If she merits, then she'll have a son who's as great as Avram Avinu. Dichtibe, what does it say about Avram? Afar va'efer. He said, I am dirt and ashes. Right? There's humility. Lo zachta, if she doesn't merit, tachzor la'afarah. She goes back to the earth from which she was created. Tarash Rava, further, Bishcha Shem Avram Avinu, now we're on the topic of Avram Avinu, Vanochi Avar Va'efer, since he said, I am dirt and ashes, Zachu Banav L'shtei Mitzvot, his children merited getting two mitzvot, one with dirt, one with ashes. Efer Para, the ashes of the Para, the Afar Sota, and the dirt of the Sota. So how can they mention the dirt of the Sota? Va'ika Nami Afar Kisui Dam, there's also the dirt of covering Dam, with Shechitat Chayav Of. So, hatam hechshe mitzvah ika, that is just a hechshe mitzvah, hanolek, it's not the mitzvah itself, as opposed to a far soto, which is really part of the process. Now, Dorash Rava, b'schar she'amar Avram Avinu imichut v'yad srochnal, when Avram refused to take any of the wealth of his victory over the kings and getting all of the property of Sodom backed in his successful attempt to save Lot, Sodom, the king of Sodom, offered him all of the property and wanted to keep the people. Avram took an oath that he would not take even a strap or a shoestring. As a chubanav l'shtei mitzvot. So as a result of him refusing to take a strap or a shoestring, his children got two mitzvot. Chut shel tchelet, the string of tzitzit, the blue string, or ritzua shel tefillin, the strap of tefillin. So bishtama ritzua shel tefillin, I understand what's great about the strap of tefillin, dichtiv, in the brachot, in kitavo, for who kol ha'aretz kishem adonai nikra lecha, the whole world will see that God's name is on you, and they'll fear you. That's a reference to Tefillin Shebarosh that has God's name on it. What's so great about the blue string? Tanya Rabbeir Omer, the famous sugya in Menachot, Ma nishtara tchelet mikol minei tzivonin. Why did God pick tchelet? Nishtara tchelet dom eliyam, because it looks like the sea. V'yam dom elorakia, the sea reflects the color of the sky. V'rakia dom elikisei kavod, and the sky itself is the color, as it were, of God's throne. Shenemar, v'yiru et Elohei Yisrael v'tachar raglav k'maasei livnat ha-sapir u'cha'etzam ha-shamayim la-tohar. At Matan Torah it says that these elders and Aaron and his kids saw God, as it were, and they saw underneath his feet this precious stone that looked like the purity of the heavens, the color of the sky. And also in Yechezkel, it says that the image of the throne, the heavenly throne, was like the sapphire stone, which is evidently some sort of blue sapphire, as described in Shemot. So that's why Tchelet is so wonderful. So, Mitzchut. Okay, now, the next Mishnah talks not about what's written, but how it's written. It can't be written on a board, on a wood board. V'lo al nir, not on papyrus. V'lo al hadiftara, which is unfinished parchment, rough parchment. Elah megillah, that's written on a proper megillah. Shenemar basefer, because the Torah says, in pasuk number one, under that text, pasuk number one in the list, it says he has to write it basefer. V'eno kotev lo b'komus, v'lo b'kankantom, v'lo b'chol davar shoroshem. He can't use different kind of vitriol and all sorts of gum pieces, gum extracts, which you would use to write, which are indelible, and not anything that makes a mark. Ela b'dyo, it has to be ink. Shenemar umacha, because it says he has to erase it. K'tav she'achol imachot. Therefore, it has to be a kind of material that could be erased. Now, the Gemara Amarava, Megillat Sotash Ketava Balayla. So he adds on to the halachot of the Mishnah. If the Megillah is written at night, psula. Why? My taima? Atya Torah Torah. We derive this by an analogy of the use of the word Torah. K'tiv ha-chavasal ha-kodim kol ha-torah hazot. It says the Kohen shall do all of this instruction for the Sota. K'tiv ha-tal al-pi ha-torah sheri rucha. In the parsha of the Beit Din HaGadol, it says that you have to follow the Torah that they instruct you. Mishpat. Ma mishpat ha-yom. And just like mishpat is only during the day, ha-milat sota ba-yom. So therefore, Torah, instruction is during the day. The Torah of the Sota also has to be done during the day. Now, K'tavalim ha-fidat, by the way, tells you that the writing of the Megillah is also part of the process. It's not like you bring a prepared Megillah, but rather the writing of the Megillah is a part of the process. Derech Agav, on our Mishnah, there's a very interesting Tosfos that takes us to the Mishnah in Yoma, talks about the beautiful gold Parshat Sota that was prepared by Heleni Hamalka, and of course it was not ever used for Sota, but it was used to have the text there so that they could copy from it. In any case, back to our Mishnah, Ktavalim Afreya, if you wrote it backwards, Psula, why? Dichtiva Chatam Ha'alot Ha'ela, he has to write these curses. Ha'ela meaning Ki Dichtiva, in the order they're written. Ktavalim Kodesh Tkabel Ha'Shvua, if he writes it before she accepts the Shvua, and you see that writing now is not just a preparation, it's part of the mitzvah. Psula, Shinema Rishpia V'Chakach V'Chata, first it says he administers the oath, then it says he writes the text. Ktavai Gerit, if he wrote it as a letter that folds, Psula. Why? B'sefer Amar Rachmana. The Torah called it a sefer, which is a scroll. K'tava al shnei dapin. If you wrote it on two columns, psula. Why? Sefer achad Amar Rachmana v'lo shnei mushloshas sefarim. It's one sefer. So it can't be written on separate pieces that are stitched together. K'tav otachad v'machak otachad. Let's say he wrote a letter, erased it, wrote another letter, erased it. In other words, never had the full text to erase. V'machak otachad psula. Why? Dichtiv v'asala kohen et kol ha-torah hazot. He has to do this entire Torah, meaning take the entire piece and then erase it. Boy Rava, Katav Shtei Megillot L'Shtei Sotot. Let's say he wrote two Megillot for two different Sotot, Umachkam L'Toch Kos Echad, and then took one cup of water with the dirt and erased them together, Mahu. K'tiva L'Shma Ba'inan, do we require, like with a get, that it be written for her, and Vayika, that you have, each one is written for that woman. Odim Ba'inan Am Mechika L'Shma, maybe it has to be erased for her, and because you put them together, really the erasure was for neither one particularly. If you accept that second position, then you need mechika, the erasure, for that particular girl. Machkan b'shtei kosot. What if you erased them separately? V'chazar v'ivan, then pour the cups together. Mahu, and then gave them to drink. Mechika l'shma b'ayin v'yika, you have it erased for her particular cause. Odilma halav didaka shatya v'alav didaka shatya. But you could say that she also has to drink the stuff that was erased for her. If you accept that stringency, that she has to not only have it be written for her and erased separately for her and drink that water of her own, what if you erase two, poured them together, and then say, because they realized your mistake, and then separated them into two separate cups? Yesh Breira and Breira. And this comes to the halacha of Breira, which is a sugya in several places, most notably in Gittin in the third parak, about retroactive designation. If you have, it's also sugi and eruvin with, where you put an eruv in two different directions and then on Shabbat decide which one you're going to accept. Does Breira work? The general acceptance is that we say, yesh Breira b'drabonin. In something that's of a rabbinic nature, we allow Breira. So for instance, with Trumot u'Masrot b'zman hazeh, we allow Breira so that you can eat from something and then decide whatever I leave over at the end, that'll be the Trumot u'Masrot. Right? So do we say Breira or do we not say Breira? The answer here is Teku, because really the entire question is, it's not so clear that it's a question because it all depends on answering in the affirmative to every one of the questions we asked before. Do you need Mechika Lishma? Does she need to drink her own? And then if she needs to drink her own, do we say that if you later redivided it, Yesh Breira, that really was yours and that really was yours? Or do we say Ein Breira and we haven't clarified anything and you're really drinking a mix of yours and hers and that's not good? The answer is Teku. Boy Rava, Hishkan b'siv mahu. What if he gave her to the water to drink not out of a cup or out of the vessel, but rather he gave her out of a hollow tube of some sort? Oh, b'shfoferet mahu, in another kind of a tube. Derech shtia b'chach, is that called drinking? Because she has to drink. Oh, in derech shtia b'chach, is that not called? And it's a question simply about what do we call normal style of drinking. The answer is teku, we can't really resolve it. Boy ravashi, nishpachu mehen, nishtairu mehen. What if some of it poured out? What if some of it was spilled? Mahu, Can she, does it have to all be there for her to drink, or can she just drink some of it? Teiku. Avzema Marav. Shtei Shvuot Tamar Pesota Lama. Why are the two oaths administered to the Sota? This is something we've already discussed in the opening shiur about the two oaths. Achat Kodem Shnimchaka Megillah Achat Lachar Shnimchaka. So one suggestion is that one is given before you erase the Megillah, then you erase it, and then give the other one. So Matkevaravatavayu Kodem Shnimchaka Megillah Aktivan. But the Torah, both of them are written before you erase the Megillah and give it a drink. So that doesn't work. Ela Amar Rava, Achat Shvua Sheishi Ma'ala, Achat Shvua She'eni Ma'ala. One of them is an oath with an imprecation, with a consequence, and one is with an oath without. So Hechidami Shvua Sheishi Ma'ala. So what is an oath with an imprecation? Amar Rava, Mashbina Yalayech Shalonit Meit. I'm administering an oath that you did not defile yourself. Shimnit Neit Yavo Uvach. Because if you became Tmea, then the waters will kill you. Marava, alalachuda kaima, ushvualachuda kaima. That's not really a solution because you have the oath and you have the imprecation separately. It's not an oath with an imprecation. Allah Marava, read it like this. Mashbiene alayach she'imnit meit yavovach. I'm administering an oath that if you're tamei, then you will be killed. Mashi alayi kashvualaika. All that is an imprecation. There's no oath there. So Ravashi fixed it. He says, I'm administering an oath that you're not Tmeah, and if you are, that you will die, the water will come in and kill you. Okay, that's the end of this podcast. And in the next podcast, we will complete this relatively short Perek Bet and continue on in our study of Masachet Sotah. Everybody should have a wonderful day.